It is 12 o'clock. We'll call to order the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistant District Board of Managers meeting. With that, we move to item number two for agenda announcements. Any agenda announcements?
No agenda announcements.
We move to item three for consider approval of consent agendas. Items three A, B, and C. Do we have a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. We will move to item number four regarding audit report.
Yes, we just finished our audit report for this year, and we have Mr. O'Leary here to present to the board the results of the audit.
I'm Paul O'Leary. I'm with Phil Runnin' Hill, and I appreciate you guys having me today. So really what I'm going to go through is I'm going to go through the opinion letter and then kind of just some really high-level highlights of the financials, really just kind of focusing in on sort of bottom line, if you will. But before I get into that, so the 2017, which was the prior year audit, was accepted for the GFOA award. I believe that is the fourth consecutive year for you guys to receive that award. So basically, it's an award that just says that you have to meet certain criteria. It's basically the benchmark for financial reporting. So again, it's a great award to have. And so again, you guys received it again for the fourth year in a row for 17. So congratulations on that. If you will go to page two, and this page one and two are the opinion, it is our opinion letter. And the second paragraph on page two is basically our opinion paragraph, and it states that you guys received an unmodified opinion, which is commonly referred to as a clean opinion, which is the highest level of opinion that we can issue. So congratulations on that. And at any point in time, if you guys have questions or anything, please feel free to stop me and we can go over that. But moving on into page eight. So this is your statement of deposition, and it's also the governmental fund balance sheet. So that very first column that says general, that would be the actual governmental fund balance sheet. That's presented under a modified accrual basis, which is really just a current focus. So it has basically everything except for long-term assets or long-term liabilities. And so you'll see that your ending fund balance right there under where it says unassigned, and then you'll say total fund balance are there. That ending fund balance or your ending equity is a little over 23 million. And so the thing that we look at that kind of measures really good economic health is looking at that unassigned fund balance, which is basically there's no restrictions on that particular equity, which is 16 million. And we look at that in comparison to total expenditures. And if you were to actually take that percentage, it's about 85%. If you were to equate that out into months, that's basically 10 months. So a healthy bottom line would be 3 months. And so you guys have 10 months built up in there. So if the district were to go 10 months without receiving any revenue at all, you guys would be able to cover your expenditures for that period of time. So that is a great place to be. So again, congratulations on that. The other parts of it, there's an adjustments column, and then the statement of net position. That adjustments column is basically going from, I had mentioned, that first column is under modified accrual. The last column is presented under full accrual. So basically the only difference is that it has long-term assets or capital assets, and then it has some long-term liabilities, which in this case, you guys have some compensated absences as well as a pension liability. So those are really the only difference between those two statements. And I'm not gonna go through the notes, really. There really weren't any changes this year. There were no new standards that went into effect that would have affected you guys. So really just everything in here just kind of goes into the financial statements in a little bit more detail. If there is a particular question about anything here, I would be happy to answer that. But really the last thing that I wanted to go over, and it's actually towards the very back, or it is the last few pages, and this is our government auditing standards letter. And so basically in this letter, it indicates that we did an evaluation of the internal control structure for the district. We don't issue an opinion on that, but we are required to kind of evaluate the controls that are in place. And at that point, we would determine if there were any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in your internal control structure, to which we found none. So from our standpoint, although we're not issuing an opinion on it, you know, we feel comfortable with the internal control structure that you guys do have in place. So again, good job and congratulations on that as well. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you guys may have. But all in all, I've been affiliated with this audit in some capacity since 2011, and I've always had a great experience out here. So again, I really do appreciate you guys taking some time out and having me out here to present this to you.
So I don't know if you're the proper person to ask on this.
Mm-hmm.
You said 3 months is what you measure the health financially of the organization. Is there a period of time that you say you have too much money setting aside doing nothing? Is 10 months too long? Should we be looking at doing something else with some of that extra money?
I really feel like that kind of just depends on your vantage point. I know that you guys do have various projects that are going on that you guys are working on, so I know that you guys are using some of that towards that. So I guess there probably could get to a point where if you just have a bunch of equity and you're not, you know, doing anything with it, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It gives you options. You never know when there could be, you know, just kind of a negative downturn or anything like that. So it is nice to have those kind of in, you know, as a contingency. But, you know, I think that you can always evaluate when you do have excess funds to play with. Those are times that you can kind of look at other things that you guys might have interest in doing. But you guys do have the opportunity to do that. But I do know that you guys do have some things that are going on currently that you're using that for. But definitely you guys have options to continue on with that as well.
So most cities carry a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
What typically do you see as far as organizations this size?
I think it probably depends on the industry, but I think if I were to compare you guys to another comparable, we do other 911 districts, I think that you guys have a lot more financial health than other entities of this particular size that I actually see. But again, it's just kind of contingent over that. I mean, this is kind of an area that's continuing to grow, and there's just a lot that's changing, and I think that could be a benefit. It can also be a hindrance at times, but I think just with this particular area and the growth that's kind of happened over the years, I think that you guys have kind of been a recipient of that. But then again, with this particular type of entity, you know, emergencies, 911 calls, those types of things, they're always going to be a thing. So I guess with this particular industry, it's always going to be kind of a high demand, always something that is relevant and needed.
When you see a deficiency, what typically do you see? What's your most common deficiency?
So usually what we see, the most common thing, and it would be the most common amongst smaller entities, would be essentially like a lack of segregation of duties. But you guys do have a lot of different people in place that you don't just have one person that's holding lock and key, so to speak. So that's, even with the size that you guys are, you do still do a very good job of kind of divvying out things as they need. And there's, you know, a lot of good oversight within that. But other things that we see as far as, you know, we look at, you know, approvals of, even if it's just purchase orders or things like that, just making sure that there is the proper levels of authorization that are there. Those are always things that we look at. So we will see times that maybe, just as an example, there may be entities that have somebody that has maybe like a signature stamp, that there's somebody that should be authorizing it, but this other person also has the ability to just kind of slap that signature on there. So we kind of look for things like that, different things, if important information's stowed away in a locked filing cabinet. You know, some people have convenience, we'll just hang the key on the filing cabinet right next door. So I mean, those are things that we look for, not to say that those are necessarily material or significant, but they could be. But from our instance, I can't give you 100% assurance that there isn't anything, but from the things that we looked at, there was nothing that jumped out at us. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll move to item 5, presentation of the CPE, or at least a project update.
Good morning or afternoon. We have just cut over Sanson Park as of February 13th. We are in the process of testing 7.2 for the new CPE software version, and so far that has turned out to be very good. We are also testing the latest map update from MapLocal. And that is turning out to look pretty good. So we'll be rolling that, we'll have a schedule of rolling that out come beginning of April or so. Grand Prairie, we have on, for their cut date is April 24th.
That's the first time I've actually got to hear that date. Okay, thanks.
All the sites have been notified of their cut dates through the end of the project, except for construction sites, and those are obviously unknown.
What about Fort Worth?
They have as well.
Yeah, okay.
We have Saginaw cut coming up on March 13th and Blue Mound April 3rd. We're at 61% of the seats and 68% of the PSAPs cut over.
So we're still on target for a year-end completion?
Yeah, for all the sites that are not under construction, that are outside of our
good qualifier. Yeah.
All right. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
How many are under construction?
Azle, Northridge and Hills Backup, Westover Hills, DFW Airports, I say plural, Backup and Primary. Who am I forgetting?
There is some discussion about Fort Worth's backup site that is popped up very recently that we're looking into, that they're working through some hoops on. That may throw a little bit of a shift to some scheduling there, but there's a lot of politics, I understand, that goes along with that, to making those kind of changes happen. But that's all we got.
So construction, does that impede our ability to complete all the projects within this year, or
We don't believe it's going to be a problem. Azle's moving along pretty well. Westover Hills kind of jumped up on us. We've been talking about it for 2 years, and all of a sudden they just started doing it, and they had a 2-month turnaround on a major initiative. So they went from 0 to 60 in no time. DFW Airport, because of the delays that they've had, it looks like we're going to install ahead of time prior to any construction not going, and then we'll just move at that time. There's a lot of moving parts with their primary and their backup at DFW. And in Fort Worth, there's a lot of questions about the backup site for Fort Worth.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we'll move to the executive records report.
I really don't have anything. We did receive the bids back from the property condition assessment. Yesterday, so we were making a decision on the agency to handle that for us by the end of the week. And as was mentioned to the board members previously, our public hearing will occur next month due to a concern with legal notices that occurred with the newspaper. So it was something out of our control. It was just a timing issue, so that's been moved to next month. And that's really what I have.
Can we do a quick introduction of our new board member, Mr.
Brooks?
Sure. So Robert Brooks, I live in Keller, work for AT&T, been with the company for a long time. I manage the 911 team here in Tarrant County, but I also have statewide responsibility for 911 at all the other locales. I have a long history with 911. I just recently moved back to Texas a year ago, and I manage the 911 for California, for the state of California, from an operations perspective. So got a little bit different setup they do statewide compared to how it's managed here in Texas. So local Tarrant County guy, and I grew up a Texas boy, actually lived and was married in Arlington. So it's good to be back after 18 years.
Do you touch the CPE project any?
I am involved in it. I got an update on Sense Insight just recently, worked with Kevin's team. All of my techs are the men and women who take care of all of the business here, so from the city of Dallas all the way across, of course, statewide.
Okay, great. So
if there's an issue, I need to know.
You'll hear.
Absolutely.
I'm not shy about it. No,
I'm sure you're not, but I'm here to help, here to serve, and glad to be a part of this, and I appreciate that.
We're excited you're here.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, item number 7, legislative briefings.
All right, Brian and Bill were not able to be here, so they sent us an update via email, and I will read the legislative update as provided. Earlier this month, Governor Abbott delivered his State of the State address to a joint session of the House and Senate. During his address, he identified 5 emergency items for the legislature to take up immediately: school reform, school finance reform and teacher pay raises, property tax relief, school safety, disaster response, and increasing access to mental health programs. The Texas Constitution prohibits the legislature from passing bills within the first 60 days of the legislative session. However, because Governor Abbott designated these items as emergencies, the legislature can take these items up immediately if members choose to do so. Property tax reform. Public school finance and property tax reform are the overriding issues of this legislative session. Last week, the Senate Committee on Property Tax passed Senate Bill No. 2, the Senate's key property tax reform bill, on to the full Senate. The bill will require an automatic election to allow voters to approve any property tax revenue increase that exceeds 2.5%. The bill would apply to cities, counties, community colleges, and school districts. However, the bill does exempt government entities that raise less than $15 million from property taxes. The next step is for the bill authors to drum up enough support to bring the bill up for debate in the full Senate. Bill tracking and filing deadlines. To date, there are roughly 2,500 bills that were filed in the House and 1,100 bills in the Senate. We are closely monitoring these filed bills to determine which bills could directly or indirectly impact the district. March 8th marks the 60th day of the session. This is the deadline for members in both the House and the Senate to file bills other than local bills, emergency appropriations, and emergency matters submitted by the government. We expect to see bill filings greatly increase until the March 8th deadline. Special election in the House. On February 5th, 2 special elections were held for 2 House districts. In House District 79, El Paso, Democrat Art Fierro won the seat to replace Republican Joe Pickett, who resigned in December due to health reasons. In House 145, Austin, former Senate Republican Melissa Noriega will face Democrat Christina Morales in a runoff election set for March 5th. The winner of the election will replace Representative Carol Alvarado, who now serves in the Texas State Senate. Also, Republican Fred Rangel and Democrat Ray Lopez are headed to a runoff election in House District 125 in San Antonio. They are both seeking to replace Representative Justin Rodriguez, who was appointed to Bexar County Commissioner earlier this year. And I would ask if you had any questions, but I would honestly say I couldn't answer them. Hopefully you're satisfied with that. And that is completes his briefing.
Okay, great. Do we have any executive item sessions? We do not. Okay, with that, we'll move into the public comment section. Any comment from the public? Okay, I think we're moving on the fastest meeting ever.
Yes, there's going to be.
Any board members have a item or issue to be discussed? Okay, with that, do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second. So we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem there. Wow. Yeah.
And we just now in the next meeting.
Standard March meeting, I believe.
Thank you.